Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, hello everybody. I want to tell a little story from the time I was at this big monastery called Na Uyana in Sri Lanka. So this is the biggest meditation monastery in all of Sri Lanka. There was about 150 monks, Theravada monastery. And that was the biggest monastery I ever went to. And it was also the first time I ever went to Asia. That was in Sri Lanka. Before that point, I only had stayed in Westerner monasteries. So, you know, other Westerner monks like me, and the environment was more of a Western culture, you know, in all these monasteries. But when I went to Sri Lanka, there was a big culture shock waiting for me, because I'd never been to Asia before at all, let alone this Asian monastery. And it was interesting how, as I began to meet the other monks, they had different personalities. And so there was about a dozen other Westerners like me. So I made friends with them quite easily. You know, we all kind of thought the same and talked the same. And I made friends with them pretty fast. But making friends with the Sri Lankan monks was kind of harder. They were not very Westernized, and they were quite... I'm going to say like reserved, meaning like they wouldn't open up and tell you anything personal about themselves, at least not at the beginning. And, you know, they were very formal. They were very, they had this culture where they wouldn't really laugh much or joke much. And they actually thought it was kind of immature if anybody laughed or joked, but that was just kind of their culture. They thought, you know, an arhant is beyond this. You know, an arhant, you know, they don't laugh and joke in this immature way. So now the Indian monks, they laughed and joked all the time. I met a few Indian monks, and they're very talkative. And they're very fun. They're very fun to be around. They're very easy to talk to. But then the danger was talking too much. You know, I had to be careful not to talk too much to them, because they would talk for hours. It was hard to get them to stop. You know, once they got going. So it's very interesting. You know, and then there were these Chinese monks. Okay. So I'd never been around Chinese monks before. And so these were Chinese monks from mainland China. They only spoke Mandarin, not English. And there was maybe about, I'm going to say 7 or 8 of them. And they had almost like a little group unto themselves, you know. They would hang out with each other, speak Mandarin. One of the Indian monks was telling me, they all look so serious all the time. Sometimes they fight with each other too. And I'm like, what? No. And he's like, yes. And I'm like, why would they fight? Well, they like to argue. Well, they argue over like who gets to go first, who has the highest status, you know, who gets to go first. They want to have an order of who's in what order. I'm like, really? Yeah. Okay. And there was this one monk, and you could clearly see he was the one in charge. You know, he was very, the way he sat, the way, you know, you knew he was sort of the dominant one, eh? Anyway, so that was interesting. Only later on in Malaysia here, I made more friends with some of the monastics who could speak English. And I'm like, you know what? I noticed that sometimes they would not line up with their vases, okay? Vases meaning how many years of seniority. You know, like normally at the monastery, it's very simple. You know, how many years of seniority do you have? You line up in that order. But they would sometimes have a little bit different in order. And I'm like, what's up with that? And the answer was, if a monk or a nun was a teacher, okay, if they had the role of teaching, this kind of gave them more status. And this could kind of move them forward in the lineup a little bit. You know, there was, and I'm like, so is there kind of like a point system? You know, like how do you, it's kind of getting complicated. No, there's no point system. It's just, you know, everyone just kind of agrees on this. You get a little more status. And I'm like, okay, you know, all right, you know, I guess that's okay. Now, the reason I say this, and by the way, you know, I wasn't going to tell them to do anything different, okay? I was a guest at their monastery, you know, I didn't want to offend them. However, there is this one Vinaya thing I do want to bring up. And so we got new monks today. There were 7 new monks ordained. So all of a sudden, these new monks have to learn Vinaya. Okay, so I'm going to teach a little Vinaya here. Now, there are these 4 worst rules, the parajikas. So basically, don't have sex, don't steal, don't kill anyone, and don't lie about your spiritual attainments. Okay, that'll get you disrobed right quick. Now, interestingly, there's this one other rule that doesn't get mentioned too much. They call it a virtual parajika sometimes. It's kind of a parajika, but it's kind of... It deserves to be, you know, parajika number 5. It's like a virtual parajika. And that is if you lie about how many years of seniority you have. Okay, they have a term, a thief of status, a thief of status. So now I'm okay with everybody, you know, lining up a little different, or, you know, you get more status, you're a teacher, that's cool. But what's not okay is, so I have like 16 vases. Now, if I go to the next monastery and I tell a lie and I'm like, you know, actually I have like 26. If I lie, that's being a thief of status, okay? So it's like counterfeit, you know? That's like me taking a fake $100 bill to the 100 ringgit to the bill to the store and, you know, try to buy something, and it's fake money. It's kind of like that. Okay, so there is this thief of status thing. Just saying. And And there's another story I want to tell too, a short story. So I went to Hong Kong for the first time in the last year. Who here has been to Hong Kong? Anyone been to Hong Kong? 1, 2. Not that many. 3. Not that many people. Okay. And... I went to this, I asked around, you know, what's a good thing to see in Hong Kong? And they're like, oh, there's this beautiful nunnery called Chilin Nunnery. You got to go see this nunnery. So I went and saw this nunnery. And it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. They had a garden and ponds and architecture and everything. It was great. And they had these famous sayings of Mahayana teachers along this one wall. They had kind of these beautiful, big, polished stones, different kinds of stones. And then they'd have a little, kind of like a little saying under the stone on a placard, like a small white rectangle. Now, they wouldn't let me take pictures there, but I wish I could. Now, my favorite saying there, I can't remember the words exactly, but I want to share it. Maybe one of the more Mahayana monastics may even know the original Mahayana, you know, master who said this. I'd love to know who said it and what the exact words were. Okay, so it went something like this. those that hide the virtues of others, they are the most evil villain of all. Okay? Those that hide the virtues of others, they are the most evil of all. And when I read that, I'm like, I'm so glad that there's a Mahayana master who said that. I wish that was in the early Buddhist texts. That was awesome. It's true. And what I would just, the reason I bring this up is, I've lived at quite a few monasteries now, and what is tempting to do is to fall into a mistake. It's easy to make. An easy mistake of, it's like a fault-finding mind, okay? Where we see each other's faults. We see each other's mistakes, and we get stuck on that, okay? None of us are perfect. We monks and also nuns, we need to follow our rules, follow our Vinaya. That's kind of like the rules of the game, you know, that we're all cooperating to play here. And we're going to make all kinds of little mistakes, even though we're trying to be very mindful. And instead of focusing on those flaws and mistakes, I would suggest try to notice the virtues of other people. It's like the opposite thing, okay? Faults are easy to see. Mistakes are easy to see. Okay, there's always something we can find about other people that there's something wrong. But what's harder to see is what are the virtues, you know, what are the talents that we have? What are the good qualities that we have? And it takes time. It takes time to see that. It takes time to observe people's behavior, and then their character eventually emerges. Okay, so please be open to seeing the good. The automatic thing is probably to get stuck on the problems, actually. That's the tempting mistake to make is, occasionally, sure, we should admonish each other. We should carefully, gently, you know, at the right time. It's not easy to do. Sometimes we can get upset, you know. But as peacefully and carefully as possible, yes, we should admonish each other sometimes. But I would recommend try to focus on the positive. Try to focus on the good more than the negative, if possible. Reasons, let's say, to be grateful or reasons to be appreciative. That is going to help us stay in a positive frame of mind and keep us from, I guess, just like letting our hearts fall into an unhappy place. And then it's not really enjoyable to be ordained anymore if we become too unhappy. So there's kind of a talent to staying positive, keeping things positive. Seeing the positive. It's, you know, that itself is a skill. Okay, so please don't get into arguments over status. Okay, I'm not saying that you're going to be like those monks at Navayana, but the Buddha had an extremely simple system where it's just how many years of seniority you have, how many vasas, and when you have those vasas, what it entitles you to is, I'll just close with one last little Vinaya thing. I have one more little Vinaya lesson. I don't want to teach you too many things at once. But there's this thing called the Apalokana. The Apalokana. And it's a short little phrase, a short statement. And in it, it basically says, you know, whenever there's some new requisites donated, just like we all received a gift, you know, we monks got these little baskets just now. Had you just put that all in a big pile, and then we monks, according to the Apalokana, we take our pick in order of seniority. So Bhante Dhammapala is the most senior. He would take whatever he wants first. He gets first pick. Okay? And then Bhante Kusala, he has the second most seniority. He takes second pick. And then next is me. I take the next pick after him. And really, it's just an order of taking your pick. That's the Apalokana. That applies to the food, the clothing, the shelter, and the medicine. So really, that's what this whole system of seniority kind of entitles us monks to for our seniority. So it's actually quite a simple system of status that way. Now, of course, we, you know, whoever's a teacher, if you want to show them respect, by all means, that's cool. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, but the Vinaya, you know, the Vinaya thing here that actually governs this is the Apalokana as to seniority. Who is entitled to their pick in what order? Okay, so hopefully there's no arguments now.